Sometimes we cry out to God for a miracle, and sometimes we get to receive it. Sometimes we desperately pray for that miracle, and then sometimes we get to celebrate in the amazement that God gave it to us. When God answers our prayers and gives us those miracles that we have been asking Him for, I think it's really important for us to stop and mark the moment. This is part of our Jesus story, and as we share it with others, it encourages all of us even more. Today in this podcast episode, that's exactly what we're going to do. I want us to talk about a miracle that has happened in the life of a family very special to me. I have here in the studio with me my friend, Miriam Harris. She is one of the founding members and the team and the board of the Family Disciple Me Ministry, and she and her family have an extraordinary story to tell. This miracle, well, it's encouraged my heart so much, and I believe it will encourage you in your prayers as you ask God for miracles in your life and family as well. So I'm going to cue the intro, and then we'll be right back to hear this God story, this Jesus story, from my friend, Miriam Harris. Discipleship starts with a conversation. Sometimes that's easy, but sometimes we're not sure where to even begin. This podcast is created to inspire us about scriptures and relevant topics so that we can walk closer with Jesus and then have meaningful biblical conversations with those God has entrusted to us. Hi, my name is Tasha Williams, and I'm the founder of the Family Disciple Me Ministry. We believe that no matter what our age or stage in life, devotion and discipleship are God's calling on every one of His followers as we seek Him, speak Him together. So let's skip the intimidation and get straight to the conversation. Well, Miriam, welcome to the studio.
Thanks, Tasha.
You have not been in here in the podcast studio with me before, so I'm so excited to welcome you into this space and place.
Yeah, it's pretty soundproof. This is cool.
We like soundproof. And to those of you who are listening right now, Miriam always nudges me to the next level because she's also recording this, like video recording this. So
you're going to have to use it on social.
There we go. She is challenging me to up my game here. So we'll see how this goes. But Miriam, I'm so glad that you're here with me today. I am thrilled that we get to mark this moment and tell such an amazing God story from your family this week.
Me too. Me too. I appreciate you, Tasha, taking the time because I'd be very quick to thank God and then keep moving on. So thank you for marking it for our family.
Amen. Well, this story has encouraged my heart so much. And it's about a very special family member in Miriam's family. His name is Sam. And we're going to start out by telling you a theme verse that we want to share with you. And then we're going to give you the backstory. And then we're going to tell you what God has done. So there you go. How's that for a teaser about where we're going? Miriam, what is the verse that has just been overflowing in your heart about this God moment, this God miracle that you've had with Sam?
Yeah, the verse. So this one just resonated in my heart and my head. And it's Ephesians 3:20-21. Now to Him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to Him be the glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen.
Amen. Wow. It fills me with emotion, Miriam, just hearing you read that verse, because God has indeed done exceedingly abundantly, more than we could have even prayed or dreamed in the life of your brother, Sam. So with that, I want us to go back to when Sam entered your life.
Yeah. So in my family, we have about two sets of children, my older brother and sister, and then me and Sam. So there's 8 years between me and my sister, and when I was three, Sam was born on my birthday. And I was a little conflicted because it was my birthday, but, you know, my mom and dad were in the hospital and Sam entered the world. And from the beginning, it was not, you know, the average normal sibling. Sam has Down syndrome. And so from that point on, I'd say I learned to maybe share or perhaps just have more compassion and mercy and patience in my life because things look different with a person with Down syndrome. And not bad because Sam is such a joy in our lives. But I think that's the point in my life, even when I was three, where, you know, I learned how to be a protector. I learned how to come alongside someone else who maybe, you know, didn't have the same skill set or abilities that we do.
Well, Sam is an extraordinary man. He is absolutely exemplary of how much potential Down syndrome people have. He is beyond words. His heart, his understanding, his depth, his knowing, it really is amazing. I remember one of my first memories with you, Miriam, was when your mom was introducing me to you, and somehow Sam got brought up in that conversation. I'm sure that he was standing there somewhere close by. And Miriam, when you started talking about Sam, you started crying. This was probably a dozen years ago, maybe. And you started crying because you love your brother so much. Tell me about that.
Oh, man. Oh, he's always been my little buddy. We've done everything together. I mean, we always shared the same birthday. So all our birthday parties growing up were together. Every Halloween, I was Miriam, because that's my name in the Bible, and he was baby Moses. So I'd put him in a little basket and carry him around, you know, on Halloween. And Sam just has such a tender heart and spirit. And, you know, I've always just leaned into our relationship as brother-sister, but also, you know, kind of watched out for him, whether, you know, as growing up, kids can be mean. So I was always right there with him if something was not going to go, you know, his way, but also just really kind of standing back because Sam has such a heart for God and people and loves them in such a way that honestly, he's an example to me in how to be to others.
And to all of us. Sometimes over the years, Sam would come up to me or to Kelly, and he would just have a word from God for us or a prayer to pray over us. So powerful. Just his knowing, his understanding, his walk with God. He is an extraordinary person. Well, Miriam, this past year was really hard for your family. Would you tell us about that?
Yeah. Sam had a lump in his throat and, you know, he's had like calcium deposits and other lumps places. And my mom got it checked out. And when it came back, you know, the biopsy came back, they said it looked like Hodgkin's lymphoma. And then they staged it maybe a month or two later and realized it was stage four, which means it's in his bones. Very, you know, we all know stage four, but that's deep. A lot of people say, hey, if there's a cancer to have, it's Hodgkin's lymphoma, but then you add stage four and the statistics go way down for survival rates. So that hit us hard because it's Sam. He's so innocent and loving. And as his sister, you know, feeling like I always have tried to protect him, him getting cancer, I have no control over that, right? And so it just cut deep to the core.
It cut deep for your family, and it cut deep for all of us that know Sam, because he is just so precious to so, so many of us. So with Sam, I know that your mom immediately just began the battle with him to help him start chemotherapy. I believe, if I remember correctly, Sam started it the week of Christmas. I'm pretty sure. I want to say he That's started right. it the 23rd of December, like the night before Christmas Eve. So much did they want to begin fighting this cancer. And he did great. He did great the week of Christmas. Mm-hmm. As I recall, your family had a beautiful Christmas celebration. And then either the seventh day or the eighth day after his first chemo treatment, tell me what happened.
Yeah, you have a good memory for for days and numbers. He tanked. So I went over there and my mom was saying she had to watch for his certain symptoms and she was concerned he might have a fever. You know, he was having other things going on too. So ran over to Walgreens, got a thermometer, digital one for her, brought it back. And sure enough, it was 103. So she needed to take him to the emergency room. That was one of the signals the doctor said. So I went with her and Sam to the emergency room, and they brought him back and they were monitoring him, but it was pretty perplexing, I think, for, you know, a nighttime emergency room department to have, you know, a man with Down syndrome who has cancer and who's showing symptoms that are, you know, not good for someone. They were trying to rule out sepsis. They were trying to rule out a virus. They just needed to do all the tests. And the hospital was full, you know, it was around the holiday time and they couldn't admit him. So we were kind of bunking down in that emergency room, you know, got some blankets and just sitting there. And finally, they were going to admit him towards the middle of the night. My mom was like, hey, if, you know, I'm going to come here the next day, then I need you to stay here. And so what that looked like was just being like, okay, this chair is my bed tonight. And what's most important is Sam and his care and being here, because he can't advocate for himself. You know, he might not even have the words for it. And he has a really high pain tolerance. So trying to just look out for him was key for us. Yeah, so they admitted him to the hospital and it took, you know, the test would come back maybe negative for this or that, and then they'd have to run another test, and that's just hours of mm-hmm, time frame. Mm-hmm. So we were in the hospital for a little while there.
I really feel like looking back, and maybe I'm putting words into your mouth or into your experience, but I feel like you almost lost Sam in the midst of that. It was very, very dangerous.
Yeah, that's right. His white blood cell count was down to 4, maybe. And I think it's supposed to be much, much higher than that. They were, like I said, trying to rule out sepsis, which can take someone within an hour or mm-hmm. two. So it was very dangerous. And we were just praying that he would get the right care and attention and they'd be able to treat it, you know.
Something that Miriam's family has learned to do and done so well over the years is to advocate for the life of Sam. Miriam's mother, Anne, has told me multiple times that them standing in the gap for his life as a Down syndrome person has raised the value of his life so that other people saw how valuable and see how valuable he is so that they fight for his life too. And certainly you see that in the hospital.
Over time, you know, as the nursing staff saw how much we cared for Sam, they also learned how to come alongside us, right? That it was okay mm-hmm. To embrace his love. And he brought so much joy to that floor. I mean, we have a picture with the whole floor nursing staff who were like, Sam asked for a picture? Yes, I'm going to take it with him. And maybe another one where, you know, there was a new nurse who wanted to, you know, she needed to redo his IV, and she was new enough that she wasn't quite getting it. And there was a moment where it was like, okay, that's enough tries. Let's get your manager in mm-hmm. here. And I think that was a lesson in, you know, people are people, but I'm not going to let you just, you know, hurt my brother. Mm-hmm. And I want you to try because you're new, but I need to protect him too mm-hmm. and his mm-hmm. body. So mm-hmm. let's get someone who can do this.
That's right. That's right. In the midst of that weekend where he tanked after his first chemo treatment, it was a time of stepping back and assessing what was happening in his body. And the doctors decided that chemotherapy was going to be too harsh for Sam. His body could not couldn't sustain that sort of treatment. And certainly as a Down syndrome person, Sam's body is different, responds differently to things. And so there was the opportunity for him to qualify for a certain kind of treatment. Can you tell us about that?
Yeah. It's called immunotherapy. And they say it's still experimental, according to FDA. I think a lot of things are still experimental. According to insurance, I know that immunotherapy has already gone through 15 years of trials. and had a lot of success already. So we were very grateful that Sam's insurance covered immunotherapy, and mostly that the doctor was able to advocate for Sam to get this type of treatment.
So Sam qualified, and he started on immunotherapy, I want to say, very soon into the new year after he recovered from that bout in the hospital. Well, fast forward, and there has been no way to exactly know whether or not the immunotherapy was working or not until a week ago, actually. And he had a PET scan that would show whether the cancer was backing down, what was happening in his body. So Tuesday was the test, Wednesday, the continued waiting, and then Thursday, Sam and his mom, Anne, went to the cancer center. And Miriam, tell us about what happened.
Yeah, they said every single cancer cell is gone. There is no cancer in his body. And this was after half the treatments that he was supposed to receive of immunotherapy. I mean, I think he got three treatments and he was feeling great. Like he would jump out of his chair in the treatment center and be like, I feel great. This is going good. And, you know, he was kind of getting a spark back too. So what a miracle treatment and what a miracle God did in his body by making it happen so fast. I remember we were having dinner a couple weeks before, maybe halfway through immunotherapy. And I said to Sam, hey, you know, our birthday's in August. I think our goal and what we should pray for is that you are cancer-free by August. And he was like, what do you mean? And I said, no more cancer in your body, that you fight it, that God heals you. And he was like, oh, like he hadn't even thought of being cancer-free. He just was so focused on the fight, you know, and going to the treatments, that to dream of being cancer-free, like he said, what do you mean? He hadn't even thought of it. And so for us, praying for healing, having ultimate hope for him, you know, it, with the verse of knowing that God can do abundantly more than we hope or dream, that's what I was praying for. You know, I was praying for God's ultimate healing for Sam, and so many people were, you know, just like you said, around the world, all of our family's connections, all of our friends. Sam has touched people from my childhood who I don't even talk to anymore. They were praying for Sam too. And so many people were hoping and praying for a miracle, and God answered that. And to have no more cancer, it just... I mean, I was so overwhelmed that day. I mean, just in awe that I had to take a nap because I didn't even know how to process the feelings of what God did for Sam.
Well, and as I was texting your mom about it, she sent me this, and I pulled this up on my text thread just to read. She said, "Dear friend, just to clarify, Sam doesn't have stage one cancer. He doesn't have cancer. The numerical listing, which is, I guess, a one," she said, "is another way of stating that there aren't any cancer cells in his bones, lymph glands, or other tissues." Exceedingly abundantly more than we could ask or think. And he had had stage four classic Hodgkin's lymphoma that was in his lymph glands and his bones, from that to being cancer free. You know, when this first started unfolding in Sam's life, I went to talk to him. I went to see him. And I said, "Sam, what do you want to tell me about what's happening in you? And what is God saying to you right now?" And one of the most precious things, I will never forget this, at Vanguard Church, at the end of every service, we talk about our next steps that God has for us. And we say something called the sending, which is basically our promise, our commitment to God about how we want to live our next steps for him. And Sam's response when I asked him about what he was feeling in his heart toward God as he was beginning this journey, he started talking about his next steps and being a man of faith and courage in the midst of the hard. And it was one of the most precious things I've ever heard. And then when he came out of that weekend, when the chemotherapy treatment had just struck him so hard, his mom, Anne, sent me this video, this amazing video, Miriam. And in that video, he was blessing the generations of your family. Sam will never have children, but his nieces, his nephews, and the generations to come, he was blessing all of them. And then all of a sudden, he started talking about Kelly and I and blessing us too, and talking about his next steps. And here's this man in the hospital, Down syndrome, somebody that the world may brush aside. And he is a testimony to all of us to say, I'm going to keep following Jesus no matter how hard it is. And then even the Sunday prior to this great news, Miriam, I know you were at home with Sam watching the service. He was down on the floor. You sent me a video of him watching the service. And there's Sam just praising Jesus in the midst of the wait.
Yeah. Yeah. Faithfully, just believing with his heart and being there, even though he was watching on Facebook on my laptop on the floor.
Yeah. It was so exciting to welcome him back to church yesterday. And his mom has not been bringing him to church just because of the chemotherapy and all that can happen with that. But once he was declared cancer-free, they were back at church yesterday. And we got to give shout-outs and praise and glory to God for what he has done in Sam's life. What a miracle moment.
Yeah, it was so special to be there with Sam and to honor God for the healing he's brought. And, you know, if nothing else, it's just other people got to see God's miracle too through Sam, right? And hopefully that brings hope and faith, continued faith that God does heal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It sure encourages my heart as I've walked alongside as a friend in this journey, and now to see this amazing miracle, it just makes me want to keep crying out to God for miracles in other people's lives. I am so blessed to know this family. I'm so blessed to know Sam. I feel very emotional, Miriam, because we've begged God to let Sam stay with us longer. And God does not give us every miracle that we cry out for, but God gave us this one. So we glorify him in this. Miriam, thank you for joining me in the studio to mark this moment.
Thank you, Tasha.
Is there anything that you would add to this story before we close?
You know, through this, when Sam was diagnosed with cancer, I thought, you know, my dad had passed a couple months before, and I just thought, there's no way Sam can die. Like, he cannot die. I don't know what I'd do, but this won't happen. And so just praying for ultimate healing every day and having unwavering faith that God could heal Sam was what I clung to every day and night. Every day and night, it was my prayer. And, you know, some people look at it practically like, well, it might take this long and or it might not happen, or trying to, you know, surrender to whatever outcome. And I was like, no, he is going to make it. You know, this is Sam we're talking about. And just the faith and hope and peace that God put in my heart and the fight that he gave our family, right? Like, we were with Sam round the clock. We had 8-hour shifts. You know, I slept on the floor in his hospital room the first night just to come alongside him and fight too, and show him he can be strong too, and encourage him every chance we got. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they had a meal train and people would come to the house and come alongside them. And I think that's so important, mm-hmm. you know, for the prayers of many to be behind, you know, what our ask is of God. And so, you know, when you ask if I have anything else, I think it's just that daily faith in God that he can do all things. And I think it is by his mercy that he healed Sam. I think there's amazing technology that he worked through people to develop. I know they even had to fight to bring immunotherapy to the forefront, that even the pharma companies or the drug world or the science community was like, nope, that's not going to work. We've tried all that before. So God brought this treatment along, and it's a miracle, and it works even faster than anyone thought it would.
Amen. I love that. I know that this story will still be unfolding in the weeks and the months to come. As I talk to Anne, there's still the next stages of what she called lock and block to keep those cancer cells from coming back. And wow, what an analogy. That is another discussion for another day. Certainly praying about that. But as we close this podcast, the blessing that I want to pray is this blessing, this prayer from Ephesians 3. So now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ask or think, according to God's power that works within us, to him be glory in Christ Jesus through the church to all generations. In the name of Jesus. Oh, friend, as you are listening to this podcast, or if this technology that Miriam has on the phone here works, as you watch this podcast, I pray, we pray, that both you and we will continue to lean into the prayer of, by faith, asking God to do exceedingly abundantly more than we can ask or think. We've all had heartbreaks. We've all had disappointments. We've all had devastating moments and times when our lives are just shrapnel. But then we still have life ahead of us. And God says, will you still continue to lean in and trust me? And so I believe this prayer of Ephesians 3, this prayer of praise, is to say, God, I am going to trust you in my next steps. And really, I believe that's the legacy of Sam. His next steps, as he walked through this valley of the shadow, he said, I'm walking by faith. I'm walking by courage. Next steps with God. So go with God, friend. Whatever is happening in your life right now, I pray strength and grace and mercy and peace and courage in Jesus' name over you today. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Miriam. Go with God, friend. Until next time, be encouraged.